Hello and welcome to another edition of Play Me or Fade Me. And thank you for joining us as always. And that's a winner. Yes, you can make it back to back to back to back to back winning days in the podcast. Count them up. That's five in a row. Yeah, conference season was really kind to me. So let's recap the winning card for Sunday. Well, my day didn't start the best in the Ivy League. I had Yale minus the 7.5. They needed a buzzer beater to beat Brown, so I lose the ticket. In the SEC, I cash in the Auburn Tigers minus the 5.5. They get the job done against Florida. In the Atlantic 10, well, it was a race to 50. And unfortunately, I had the VCU Rams, and they lose to Duquesne straight up. In the American Conference, I had UAB minus the 6 against Temple, and the Blazers coast to the easy double-digit victory. So my game came down, or my day came down to the Big Ten, and was very fitting, of course, because that's the team that I'm the highest on. It's the Fighting Illini of Illinois. I had the minus 2.5 ticket. Then on Twitter, we added the extra unit at minus 3.5, and they get the job done against Wisconsin. So we cashed that one not once, but twice. Thank you for the votes, and thank you for the winner on Twitter. So a 4-2 day when it's all said and done, a very good conference tournament season for me. My final against the spread numbers, 168, 131, and 3. That was 56.2%. So I picked up 21.7288 units, risking a unit on each of those wagers. Then the first half unders, which I play every year, they go 168, 129, and 5. So the same number of victories, only difference, three pushes on the totals and only three pushes on the sides. So the first half unders went 56.6%, winning 17.0929 units. So you add that together for 2 weeks of betting on the conference tournament action, I pick up 38.8217 units of profit. I'll do that again next year. Boy, that was a lot of fun. That's going to go in the success story log here for the podcast. Side note there, first half unders 2023 were better than 2024. I won't deny that. Last year, they were 175, 126, and 4, 58.1%. But back-to-back years once again on this podcast with a ton of profit on those first half unders. Nice to add the profit this year on the sides. And here for the NC2A tournament, once again, you can follow all my plays on Twitter. You can follow them on the blog. I'll drop a ton of them here on the podcast as well, but that'll be the other location to see everything that I have in action. And then, even though the results were great, I just want to do that bankroll management reminder. So on the surface, numbers look great. Once again, 56.2% winning percentage, 56.6% winning percentage. But along the way, when you bet that many games and you have that much volatility, you're going to have some bumps and bruises. And even though the winning percentages look so good, I did have an 8-bet losing streak. I had a 7-bet losing streak. I had 2 5-bet losing streaks. I lost 6 of 7 at one point, and I had 3 runs losing 5 of 6 bets. So that's just a reminder for all of us. You can't get too high, you can't get too low. But now let's talk about the big dance. Yes, the bracket came out on Sunday. And our general rule here is to bet the favorites early, wait on the underdogs. There are some exceptions, of course, but I don't know which ones they'll be. I did make an exception on my card today. I played one underdog. I didn't want it to go down, so I just grabbed the current number. Other than that, my card today is only going to be favorites. But I do have to give the full disclosure. Last season, I had a terrible start to the big dance. I'm hoping to avoid a repeat of that this year. And after last year, I've kind of decided to do things a little bit differently. Offense is about ability, defense is about effort, and teams will step up the effort and intensity on defense. But if they don't have good enough metrics on offense, I'm going to stay clear. I bet on a lot of teams last year that just could not shoot the basketball, and I will not do that this year, or at least not intentionally anyway. So let's start with the games on Tuesday. I'm only going to touch one of the two. The one that I have in is on Colorado State minus the 1.5 against Virginia. So both teams are in the top 40 defensively. Colorado State is 42nd on offense. Virginia ranks 194th on offense. Plus, as I had to learn the hard way, in a tight game, the Cavaliers shoot 349th from the free throw line. That's not good, because keep in mind, there's only two things that don't make it in life. That's dogs that chase cars and teams that don't make free throws. So I'm staying clear of the Cavaliers. So give me the Rams of Colorado State, minus the 1.5 against Virginia. I will likely be on Wagner, but no play yet at the number 3. I'm hoping it goes to 4, and then at that point, I'll jump in with Wagner on Tuesday as well. Then on Wednesday, same thing with Grambling and Montana State. No play yet at the number 4. I'm hoping for plus 5. When that happens, I'll grab Grambling, but for now, no play here on the podcast. The game I will touch on Wednesday is Boise State plus the 2.5 against Colorado. I was actually hoping to bet on both of these teams before the bracket, but now they have to face each other. Winning away from home, we know in college basketball, is tough. Boise State beat 4 tournament teams away from home. They beat St. Mary's, Nevada, New Mexico, and San Diego State. That's the edge I'm looking for. I'm sold on the Broncos of Boise State. They are 0-9 lifetime in NC2A tournament games. I think they finally get that first win this season. So once again, I'm on Boise State plus the 2.5 against Colorado. So that's it for Wednesday. Now I'm going to touch Thursday games. I'll save the Friday games for the card tomorrow and the podcast for tomorrow. But let's start with Michigan State minus the 1.5 against Mississippi State. So the last Big Ten team to win a national championship, you guessed it, Michigan State back in 2000. The Big Ten has been getting its teeth kicked in the NC2A tournament year after year after year. I might have a Big Ten bias, yes, shocker, right? But I truly do think the Big Ten will be dangerous this year in the tournament. The Spartans are just a little bit better on both ends of the floor. I think Izzo gets the Big Ten off to a good start in the opening game on Thursday. So give me Sparty, Michigan State, minus the 1.5 over Mississippi State. Next up on the card, it's Nevada, minus the 1 against Dayton. So Dayton did nothing for me down the stretch. I was ready to put them on the bubble after they burned me several times. Nevada, well, I couldn't ask for too much more than what they did. They won at Utah State, they won at Colorado State, and they won at Boise State. So I'm going to back the team that won 3 games down the stretch at tournament teams. Give me the Wolfpack of Nevada minus the 1 over Dayton. Next up on the card, it's Washington State in a pick'em against Drake. So this might shock some people that I'm actually going to bet against a Valley school in this one. I do love Tucker DeVries. He's averaging 21.8 points per game for Drake. The 19-point win against Nevada on a neutral floor was impressive. A 5-1 record against Bradley and Indiana State was also impressive. They have the better numbers on offense, just slightly, but Washington State swept Arizona. They won at Oregon. They beat Colorado, and they beat Boise State on a neutral floor. I can't look past that. So give me the Cougars of Washington State in a pick'em over Drake. Next up on the card, it's South Carolina in a pick'em against Oregon. So I love Dana Altman. The Ducks just had a great run to win the Pac-12. The big fella down low looks unstoppable. They're peaking and getting healthy at the right time. That'll be the topic of conversation. But Dante has been playing since mid-January. He shot 30% on the season. He's always been good. He played in all 8 conference losses for the Ducks, so I'm not going to overreact. I underestimated South Carolina all season. They beat Grand Canyon on a neutral floor. They won at Tennessee. They won at Texas A&M. They won at Mississippi State, all tournament teams. They also beat Kentucky and Florida for good measure. It's time for me to give them the respect they deserve. So give me the Gamecocks of South Carolina in a pick'em over Oregon. Next up on the card, it's BYU minus the 7.5 against Duquesne. So I just couldn't play this one fast enough. BYU has the 11th best offense in the country. Duquesne ranks 166th. The Dukes finished the year strong, winning 8 consecutive games after starting 0-5 in the A-10. Duquesne played 4 games against top 50 opponents this season. They lost at Nebraska by 10. They lost at Dayton by 10. They lost at Dayton by 16, and then they upset Dayton in the A-10 tournament. Meanwhile, BYU beat San Diego State, Iowa State, Texas, Baylor, TCU, and won at Kansas. They have 6 top 50 wins. And then for me, once again, it just all goes back to the offensive metrics. I want the team that can shoot. That's the Cougars of BYU. I'll lay the 7.5 over Duquesne. Next up on the card, it's Illinois minus the 12 over Morehead State. No shocker for anybody here. I was going to play this one at 13.5. You drop it to 12? Sign me up. Everyone knows by now I'm extremely high in Illinois. Multiple first-team all-conference players. Maybe the top player in the country right now. Morehead State has improved during the season after losing to Alabama by 32, Purdue by 30, and Penn State by 23. Still, have you seen the Illinois offense? Morehead State ranks 120th in the country on defense. This might be a track meet early, but the Fighting Illini, they'll run away with it in the second half. So give me Illinois minus the 12 over Morehead State. Next up on the card, it's Creighton minus the 12.5 over Akron. The Big East was disrespected on Selection Sunday. Creighton is top 25 of the nation on both ends of the floor. They won at Nebraska by 29. That was at Nebraska by 29. They beat Alabama. They beat the defending champ and top seed UConn. They beat Marquette. Akron ranks 162nd on offense, 97th on defense. I'm going to lay the points before the number increases. Give me the Blue Jays of Creighton minus the 12.5 over Akron. Next up on the card, it's Kentucky minus the 13.5 against Oakland. So the total on this one is 163. Holy cow. So both teams are outside the top 100 on defense. Kentucky ranks 5th on offense. Oakland ranks 135th. It's Kentucky. It's Coach Cal. Anything can happen. But this time around, Kentucky can score. I think they can also cover. So give me the Wildcats of Kentucky minus the 13.5 over Oakland. Then the final game on my card for Thursday is Tennessee minus the 19.5 against St. Peter's. So both teams can play good defense. Tennessee ranks 29th on offense in the country, and St. Peter's ranks 305th in the nation. So last year, I backed offenses ranked around 300. I'm not going to do it this year. Give me the Volunteers of Tennessee minus the 19.5 over St. Peter's. So basically, if I did not play the favorite for Thursday on the card, that probably tells you I'm going to play the underdog on tomorrow's card or podcast when I drop it. So we'll see. I'll fill in all the dots and all the holes. Some numbers could move. I could change my mind on a few games. But for the most part, if I didn't play a favorite, I'll probably be on the underdog. So let's recap my, I think it's 12 plays that I have locked in so far for the sides. On Tuesday, I'm on Colorado State minus the 1.5 over Virginia. On Wednesday, I'm on Boise State plus the 2.5 against Colorado. On Thursday, I'm on Michigan State minus the 1.5 over Mississippi State. I'm on Nevada minus the 1 against Dayton. I'm on Washington State in a pick'em against Drake. I'm on South Carolina in a pick'em against Oregon. I'm on BYU minus the 7.5 against Duquesne. I'm on the Fighting Illini of Illinois minus the 12 against Morehead State. I'm on Creighton minus the 12.5 against Akron. I'm on Kentucky minus the 13.5 against Oakland. And I'm on Tennessee minus the 19.5 against St. Peter's. So that's my card. No plays for the games here on Monday. We will have NIT action on Tuesday. I'll even drop a Major League Baseball play, I guess, for late Tuesday, early Wednesday. Yes, we're starting Major League Baseball for real. It counts early Wednesday morning, so I'll have that on the podcast tomorrow as well. But as always, everyone, enjoy the games out there, whatever sport you're going to watch, and manage that bankroll. Don't chase money. Have fun, and let's cash some tickets together. Good luck, everyone.